Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you're here. And this episode has been a long time coming. We have needed to talk about this, and I posted yesterday on social media related to this, and the comment section blew up, my DMs blew up, and so I thought, you know what? Let's do some long-form content. Anytime something hits well on social, it's pretty much guaranteed that we could use a longer form conversation on this. And so I'm still out on what I want to name this episode as I'm currently recording it. Obviously, you've already clicked on it. But something like, what the fuck? Everybody is shrinking. What the hell is going on? Or commenting on celebs' bodies, yay or nay. We're going to get into both of those kind of topics, and we're going to talk about intentional weight loss using weight loss drugs. We're going to talk about wanting to genuinely improve our health. We're going to talk about celebrities' bodies changing. We're going to talk a lot today. We're also going to talk, if you have kids, and how to navigate these conversations. Pending age, I have two toddlers that at this point, I think with their ages, especially, I mean, obviously the one that's 1.5, you're not going to have these conversations, but just different things that you can do as a parent related to this, related to bodies and body diversity. Okay, so first let's start off with a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. We do this every single week where we pull up a comment, a DM, something from social or from our client portal of just positive things. And to be honest, I was right before I clicked record, I was on the comment section of the video that I'm talking about. I'm going to link it in the show notes below. So you'll see it just says, you know, Instagram post Sam referenced. And I was just scrolling through all of these comments. And I was like, you know what? I feel like just this comment section is a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. The people saying, thank you so much for this post. I really needed to hear it right now. People saying, thank you. I'm crying right now. I needed this so bad. Thank you for saying this and posting this. I totally agree with you. This is not normal. Thank you. I needed to hear this today. And there's just so many coming through like this. So again, when I get comments like that and plentiful of them, it reminds me that I'm not just talking to my phone when I'm making social media content. Although that might sound so silly to say, all I do is talk to my phone. All I do is talk to my computer. That's what I'm doing right now. And I forget that there are other people on the other side of that watching that. And I'm just so grateful when people are saying, thank you. Like, I needed this. I needed this. So please continue to give me your feedback like that, because it helps me continue to show up and know what needs to be talked about. On that same note, we've gotten a lot of DMs from our clients and messages in the portal. Friendly reminder that we accept health insurance. With January right around the corner, everybody's health insurance resets too. So we'll have clients that get, you know, 10 sessions throughout the year. So then they wait until January and those 10 sessions automatically re-up. Most people have unlimited and they don't even know. So if you haven't already, please click the link in the show notes. Check your insurance benefits with our team. We have 10 incredible dietitians that live all over the nation that specialize in everything from eating disorder to body image to PCOS to sports nutrition. All of us are in the intuitive eating realm, health at every size, anti-diet, but we specialize even more so, right? We have postpartum dietitians. Whatever season of life you're in, we are happy to support you. Menopause, just everything and anything. If you do not have coverage for any reason, we will gift you 1 month of the Fine Food Freedom membership completely free, no questions asked. And that will give you 3 live calls with our lead dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. It's been so cool to see that community grow of people that didn't have benefits, whether they just, we don't accept their plan, or maybe we're not licensed in their state because we're licensed in about 26 states now. And I never want finances to be the reason that somebody can't get support. So after listening to today's episode, if you feel called, you're like, wow, this really spoke to me. I think I could really use that individualized support. Please know that we're here for you. And we'd be so, so honored to support you on your journey. So you can click that link in the show notes below, get your benefits checked. Super easy. You just plug in your insurance plan in your state. We kind of take it from there. All right, so let's jump in because we got a lot to talk about. As I stated, I linked below the Instagram post that was a basically 1 minute version of what we're going to talk about today. So if you take everything we talk about today and you shrink it down to 1 minute, there it is. So if you're like, you know what, I'd rather just go watch that. Touche, do your thing. But if you want to stick around, let's talk about how not normal it is to see everybody fucking shrinking right now, specifically celebrities. So this is one that, like I said, we have a team, including myself, of 11 dietitians. We support thousands of clients and we have hundreds of sessions per week virtually. And the common theme coming up right now is everybody shrinking and like how hard it is to continue this work on healing your relationship with food and body when everyone around you is shrinking. And so I want to validate for you how it is not normal. The times that we're living in right now, we are moving so far back to like early 2000s. Like I think of myself growing up reading Cosmo and watching MTV and like how women's bodies were such a trend and they were talked about. And now like heroin chic is back. Your collarbone sticking out is back. And when I say is back, heavy air quotes, this is by like diet culture standards, right? And so it is not normal to turn on your, like the fact that we're living in a world that you turn on your TV and it's Ozempic ad, Wegovy ad, weight loss drug ad, right? You see these celebrities that used to sing songs about maybe bodies in some way being body positive, and now they are shrinking and talking about their air quotes health journey. They don't say what it is. They just said they're now healthy, which insinuates that because they have shrank, their body is healthy. Everywhere we look, people are shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. We're getting weight loss ads just thrown in our face. So I just wanted to like set the scene there. That's what I'm speaking about today. And then from there, I want to take it a couple different directions. And so first of all, let me go back to validating. This is not fucking normal. If you are healing from an eating disorder, recovering from disordered eating, on a body image journey, it is so hard right now, the amount of triggers that are being thrown at us. Then let's add the holidays on top of it and fucking Aunt Cheryl on her Ozempic. And then it's really hard. Okay. So I want to validate that for you. But when it comes to celebrity culture specifically, I want to go two ways with this. And this is what I had put in that Instagram post, is that two things can be true right now. One, it is not okay to comment on people's bodies. So I don't even need to say who. I think there are many, many celebrities. I could list probably 10 right now off the top of my head that have continued to shrink and that every headline is like bringing them up. It's not okay to comment on people's bodies. I don't care if the person got bigger, smaller, stayed the same. I don't care what it is. It's not okay to comment on people's bodies. That is a true fact, right? We know this. And so I think what we're doing here today, we're saying it's not okay to comment on people's bodies. We're not going to call anybody out specifically. We're not leaving Instagram comments on these people's accounts. I mean, oh my gosh, ew, you got so skinny or you gained weight. No, fuck that. Okay. It's not okay. We have plenty podcast episodes that go deep into how complimenting weight loss is not a compliment and can continue on. But when I say two things can be true, we can say it's not okay to comment on people's bodies, and this duality of saying it's not normal to see what we're seeing in the pop culture environment, right? Because when we look at celebrities, they typically dictate what drives diet culture. And unfortunately, when we look back, I mean, you could go from before early 2000s, but how women have showed up in the celebrity limelight, it becomes like this trend almost, like women's bodies are trends. They're not fucking trends, let me be explicitly clear, but that's what we see, is then it kind of trends into what everyday people are striving for. It also sets this extremely unrealistic beauty standard that when we look at younger generations that are going to see movies or that are streaming shows or that are seeing commercials, that they're just seeing this subconscious messaging, not even messaging, imaging of what it is to look successful or beautiful or whatever that may be. So we could go two ways with this, right? It could be just people's bodies looking a certain way over and over and over, shrinking, that sends this subconscious message where you don't even have to talk about it. And it kind of makes us think like, oh, smaller is better. Smaller is beautiful. Smaller is worthy. Then we also have some of the greatest athletes of all time, some of the biggest celebrities. They're not even doing the it's not even subconscious shrinking. They're just straight up endorsing Ozempic for intentional weight loss. So what does that send to younger athletes? What message does that send? What message does that send to the younger generation, right? Smaller is better. Weight loss is better. Now, as we enter this conversation, I probably should have said this in the beginning, but ADHD, that's my brain. Welcome if you're new here. Disclaimer, you need to understand that there will always be outliers, and there's people that I'm not speaking to with this message, right? So for example, when we're talking about celebrity shrinking, please know that some people reside in smaller bodies, and that is natural for them of how they're showing up. There are some people that are going to have certain medical diseases or conditions that are going to cause unintentional weight loss. We are speaking on this collective shift that we are seeing in the media that thin is back. It almost feels like we're back to, someone commented this on Instagram and I was like, oh, you hit the nail on the head. It feels like we're back to the nothing tastes as good as skinny feels era. I literally have notebooks. I can visualize them in my nightstand from when I was a teenager, where I would write that out. I would literally write, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. And I feel like when I'm on my FYP, when I'm scrolling on TikTok, when I'm seeing videos, I'm seeing that kind of messaging just being pumped in people's faces. And so I want to be explicitly clear that we're not talking to people that are struggling with medical conditions, all of those things. I'm talking to people that are actively just saying, I'm trying to shrink my body, and they're putting it out there, right? And really, we need to just talk about media, because media, I forget what dietitian it is. I need to find her. She does an incredible job of just showcasing the last, I don't know, 50 plus years of media just always commenting on people's bodies. I mean, especially back in the 90s, 2000s, right? Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, J-Lo, right? Like all of these women, and how they were just constantly, every other headline was how they got fat or how they got skinny or how they need to lose weight or how they lost too much weight, and how it's just constantly that we're seeing that again now, where the media is just sending these messages out. It might not even be the celebrity doing this, right? It's the media that is just constantly adding this pressure, and we're seeing it over and over and over, in addition to the Ozempic era just being blasted out right now. It's stronger than ever. It's louder than ever. And so I want to validate for you that this is not normal. These are not normal times that we're living in. And we're seeing it as a dietitian in practice. I had someone comment on the post that I've been talking about today, and she's training to be a dietitian, and she asked such a beautiful question that I want to do a deeper episode or a post on, where she said, how have weight loss drugs changed your career as a dietitian? Has it? I'm curious. Abso-fucking-lutely it has. The questions that we are answering on social media, the conversations that we're having in counseling sessions, everything is around these weight loss drugs. Like, truly. I did the, was that last week or the week before? I did the episode on how to navigate conversations around weight loss drugs for the holidays. I used to say how to navigate, you know, your relationship with food during the holidays, which still, of course, is needed. But this year, more than ever, the most requested thing was how to navigate these conversations about weight loss drugs, whether you were on them, whether your Aunt Cheryl's on them. And again, I got to be better at putting my disclaimers at the beginning of this episode. Please know that if you're on these weight loss drugs, there truly is no guilt or shame for you. We have a lot of clients that are taking them. We have a lot of clients that previously took them, came off of them, thinking about taking them. Oftentimes I find that I just naturally kind of tap into speaking to people that have this desire to be in a smaller body, but know they don't want to take these drugs. Cause I would say that would be the majority of the people we serve. But I want it to be very clear that we serve everybody across the board with this. And that goes back to this true foundation of our practice, that everyone has body autonomy to do whatever they want. And this goes so naturally into the next section of this podcast of, if you're here today and you're saying, okay, I hear you. Like, I needed to hear this. It's valid that, like, we're living in these unprecedented times. It's so fucked up. It's so hard to work on my relationship with food and body, but I'm still feeling this intense desire to lose weight. That is also valid. That is totally normal, especially if you're someone who's recovering from eating disorder or chronic dieting, disordered eating. So I want you to ask yourself a couple things. First of all, desire and intentional pursuit are two very different things. So if you desire weight loss, honestly, to be frank, I think 99.99999% of any client I've ever spoke to desires weight loss because of the world that we live in when they come in to work with us. And I'm not here to convince you or to defend, like, you shouldn't lose weight and you shouldn't want that. And here's why. No, that makes sense. We live in a very fat phobic world. Like, everything we're talking about today, right? Look at the celebrities, look at the media, look at the weight loss drugs. It's just pumped in our face. So the desire is very different than the intentional pursuit. So if you're listening to today's podcast and you're like, okay, yes, I have the desire and I don't care about healing my relationship with food. I don't care about being more compassionate to myself or my body image. I only want to shrink my body. And every choice that I do around food and working out and anything, I just want to lose weight. That is the intentional pursuit, right? Like, you're actively choosing this intentional pursuit. I can't stress enough that the difference between those, the desire and the intentional pursuit, because when it comes to intuitive eating, when it comes to food freedom journeys, you are allowed to have a desire to lose weight. Like I said, I don't think I've ever truly had a client that didn't desire weight loss and desire a smaller body at the beginning or continued through all of their work because of the world we live in. Now, you're also allowed to intentionally pursue that. But we're coming from the food freedom, intuitive eating realm. I'm just here to say, if you say, like, the food freedom stuff, but like healing my relationship with my body, it sounds good, but like, fuck it, I'd rather just lose weight, then you might just not be ready for these conversations. And back to this idea of, like, you have full body autonomy to do whatever you want. If anything, I find that our clients that, you know, have gone through the intentional pursuit of weight loss over and over and over and over again, they eventually get to a place where they say, okay, I cannot do that anymore. And that lived experience that I have is what I need to carry me forward, to walk away from the intentional pursuit and to recognize that it is just desire and I can still live with that. It can still be in the room. It's still something we're talking about. We're going to talk about weight science. We're going to talk about weight in counseling. But the mission and the purpose of my life is not intentional weight loss. It's still in the room. We're still talking about it, but it's not the purpose. And so I think that is so important to hang on to, because when we go back to this pull of shrinking our body, this, and I'm talking like a gravitational pull, right? That so many people are feeling right now. I think, ask yourself, being really honest with yourself, is it a desire or is it like more than desire where it's like, okay, yeah, I desire it and fuck it, I'm all in. And either one doesn't make you morally a bad person. Okay. I think it's just like important to recognize and then to go further from there to say, okay, but why? Why do I want a smaller body? You could pause the podcast right now, pull out a journal, pull out a pen, and just sit with that. Just sit with that question. Why do you want a smaller body? And this, in and of itself, where we're headed here, could be a whole multiple hour long podcast, but I'm going to just break it down and summarize it as quickly and as like tangibly as possible. That when we sit with thousands of clients in session, when we really ask ourselves, okay, I want a smaller body. Well, what does that mean? Why? Right? Oftentimes one of the first things that comes up is health. I want to be healthier. And please hear me when I say, I don't think that is a bad thing. I think that makes sense that people want to genuinely pursue health, physical, mental, and emotional. I think wanting to be healthier doesn't make you a bad person. And that's where coming to this framework that we do, we sit with this research again related to weight, that weight does not equate to health because weight is not a behavior. So let's sit with that and say that one more time. Weight is not a behavior. So when we're looking at, okay, what actually impacts our health? If we're saying, I want to be healthier, awesome. What are the individual behaviors that come out of the World Health Organization determinants of health that we can work on because we want to, not because we have to? Because that's a whole nother conversation, that health is not a moral obligation. You do not owe anybody your health. So when we look at individual behaviors, this is where we go to, okay, the variety of foods that we eat, our hydration status, our movement and rest schedules, our sleep hygiene, our stress management. There are so many things here, our relationship with food and body, our emotional relationships to food, right? These things, everything I just named, you can work on. You can create positive behavior change around, and you can do that uncoupled from intentionally shrinking your body. And we know this through research that people that implement some of the behaviors of increasing fruits and vegetables, looking at their aerobic activity, smoking cessation, there's a couple of different studies that show that just changing the behaviors improved health outcomes exponentially without any weight changes. So when someone says, I want to lose weight to improve my health, I offer them that, sitting with that question of, okay, but can we improve our health without shrinking our body? And we have to remember, so many people lose weight and their health doesn't improve. Or we could look at it this way. If weight loss was the fix and the cure to health in all medical diseases and conditions, then people that resided in smaller bodies would not have medical diseases or conditions, right? So if you think about it, if we go down the medical weight stigma rabbit hole, if you have gone into a doctor's appointment or any medical appointment and you went in, let's say, for knee pain, and the doctor looks at you and says, oh, well, yeah, knee pain. I mean, you're very heavy air quotes, you are overweight. So have you tried losing weight? And then your knee wouldn't hurt. Well, if that were the cure, then people in smaller bodies wouldn't have knee pain, right? So this idea that weight equals health is so misguided. And back to this idea, like if you have not heard this before, I really encourage you to write it in your notes app or write it in a journal. Weight is not a behavior. And you can really start to think about your behaviors around food, around movement, around sleep, around stress, around hydration, and not because you need to go work on these things. To be honest with you, from an intuitive eating standpoint, we We don't even look at those behaviors until we start to make peace with food and body. Because if you feel guilt or shame in your eating experiences, those behaviors, we're not working on those yet. We're going to look at, let's drop the guilt and shame. Let's make peace with food. So then we can start to make behavior changes that feel pleasant for our body. Now, that was a little more long-winded than I wanted. Sorry, but I hope you found it helpful. The second reason, which we're only going to go through two, but we could go through a million. And this is where, again, that nuance, the counseling aspect is so important, because some of you are going to be listening to this and you're going to go, well, I don't resonate with that. And I don't blame you, because everyone's path is individualized. So take what serves you, leave the rest behind. So the second reason, when I say to people, why do you want to lose weight, right? Why do you want to shrink your body? A lot of them say to love myself or to be accepted in some way, shape, or form. And I understand why people say this. This makes so much sense. And there's a couple different reasons why. One, the external validation that we get from others when we lose weight, right? If you've ever dieted and lost weight before, you've gotten this, right? Where you lose weight and you show up at a holiday party or whatever, and they look at you, your loved ones look at you and they go, oh my God, you look so good. You look so healthy. You look amazing. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. And at that point, you could have been starving yourself and then binging at night and then exercising for 4 hours a day to work it off, to burn what you ate, right? And very disordered, but because you got this external validation, it fuels that diet culture flame of like, keep going, keep going. Now, we also have to think, so that's like the external, but remind yourself, it's so important to remember that if we are living our lives to get the approval of others, we will never be happy, because it'll never be good enough for everyone. And also, when other people's thoughts and opinions and comments on our bodies have everything to do with their own relationship to bodies and nothing to do with you. So when Aunt Cheryl comments that your body looks good, that's because she has this internalized belief system that smaller bodies are better. So of course she's going to comment that to you. But that doesn't mean she loves you anymore. That doesn't mean she respects you anymore. And like, who the fuck cares what Aunt Cheryl thinks, right? It's only important what you think. And that goes back to this idea that like diet culture sells this idea that if we get smaller, then we'll love ourselves. But back to this question of if you've ever dieted, if you've ever yo-yo dieted and lost weight, gained weight, lost weight, where you lose weight and maybe you're getting the external validations from others, right? Like we talked about. So that makes you feel better because you're getting that attention. You're getting that external validation. But I want you to get real honest with yourself. Maybe you have a picture that you can scroll back in your phone or that you've printed that it's like, okay, I was in a smaller body in this picture. And I now look at that and think, oh my God, I thought I was fat there, or I thought I was too big there, or I thought XYZ, whatever you thought about yourself. And you probably didn't think it was good enough. And this is because we cannot hate our way to happiness. And it's this idea with body image that diet culture sells us that, oh, if we just get smaller, then we'll love ourselves. But the amount of people that I have worked with that they would get smaller and smaller and smaller and shrink themselves, and they would look in the mirror and it was never good enough. Because you cannot, I want you to remove yourself from this for a moment and pretend it's a loved one. Pretend it's a sister, a mother, a best friend, I don't care who it is. If you saw them every day and multiple times a day, you're like, you know what? I would really love you more if you were just like 10 pounds lighter. Your arms are pretty disgusting, but if you could just shrink those up a bit, I would love you. Or your stomach, oh, it's pretty fucking gross. So if you could just get that stomach tighter, like, I would love you. And that's what happens in diet culture, is we speak to ourselves, like we can't hate our way to happiness, right? Like we constantly are just like hating. And maybe we're shrinking, but it's like, oh, that's not good enough. So you don't just wake up one day and look in the mirror and go, oh, we're good. No matter what, like if you were trying and striving for a number on the scale, you may have got to that number and then you look in the mirror and you're like, well, no, that's not good. And I can't tell you how many people can like they can pinpoint a specific picture that they're like, I look back at that picture and now in the body I'm in, I think, oh my God, if I could just be that small again, I would be happy. But then they're easily able to recall that I wasn't happy in that body. So what makes you think that if you shrank your body now, that you would be happy? Right? I'm going to say that again. If you weren't happy when you shrunk your body before, regardless of the size, but you shrunk yourself, what makes you think you would be happy now if you shrunk yourself? And it's heavy stuff. I understand. So it's this idea of like diet culture tells us that if we shrink our body, we will have health and happiness and love and acceptance and all these things. And I'm here to tell you that's a crock of shit. And I'm also here to tell you that weight loss is not intentionally bad. Like, I can't tell you how many people think that as an intuitive eating counselor, that when somebody gains weight, that I like hate them or I shame them. Like, I don't give a fuck about people's weight. That's the whole thing, right? Is that when we sit with clients, of course, we'll take the data point if they want to talk about it. I said earlier in the episode, of course, we'll talk about weight science. We'll talk about fluctuations if they are very large and the pendulum is swinging, and that's a part, because one of the signs of intuitive eaters is actually weight stabilization. So yes, it can be a part of the conversation, but from a moral perspective, I'm never going to celebrate a client that loses weight, just like I'm not going to shame a client that gains weight. So it's just, there's so much misinformation out there. And I just hope that is explicitly clear today. So I feel like I can come up for air for a second. That was a long one. It's a heavy one, but I think it's really important to talk about. And one thing that I wanted to kind of close with, whether you're a parent or not, I think these are helpful tips. If you're just talking to anyone, it doesn't even have to be kids, but just really when you're having conversations with other humans, but especially kids who are maybe noticing this, or maybe you have a kid that came home to you and said like, you know, so-and-so at school said fat is bad, or, you know, whatever. Just reiterating that body diversity is normal. Bodies are supposed to look different. Bodies are going to be different colors, shapes, sizes, sexualities, genders. There's able bodies. There's disabled bodies. My favorite book is Bodies Are Cool by Tyler Fetter. I will put it in the show notes. It is an incredible book that really shows the imagery of different races, genders, sexualities, medical conditions, and that constant coming back to this idea that like, all bodies are good bodies. Bodies are cool. My 3.5-year-old loves it. She knows it now. We're like, when we say bodies are, she ends with cool. And again, I think adults could really benefit. Like, I remember my some family members reading this book and they're like, what the fuck is this? Or even our friends, because they're, you know, they're just not as informed in this area. But it, I was like, oh, I'm so glad they're reading it, because I'm like, oh, they need to hear this message too. So, awesome book. Two, again, for children or adults, stop talking about people's bodies, point blank. Stop talking about celebrities. And I know we talked about it here again collectively, but I mean the commenting, right? So if you're scrolling on social media, or if you're watching a commercial and your child is around or someone is around, right? You do not have to sit there and be like, oh God, they gained weight. They look horrible. Or, oh gosh, they're so skinny. It's okay if you're having those thoughts. Please don't guilt or shame yourself. This is a process and we are all on a very different point in our journey. But I want to challenge you to try to catch that thought. Take a deep breath. Let it go. I already sang Let It Go, I believe, on last week's episode. So I'm not going to sing it again, because Let It Go is commonly played in our home. We are big Frozen fans over here. Okay, so avoid making comments on people's bodies, whether they're famous, whether they're not, whether they're a random person you see on the beach or at the grocery store, if it's a family member, I don't give a fuck who it is. Stop commenting on people's bodies. That is going to do wonders for the children and the little ears around you. Focus on what bodies do. And who people are. So like, oh, your body is so strong. You're picking that up. Oh my gosh, how fun is it that our legs let us run and play? Or, oh, our brains are like, What are bodies doing? Let's just put the focus on the do, not the look. And again, that does not mean you can't say, you're so beautiful. I saw a funny, I think I saw it yesterday, like a meme on Instagram where a mom was like, she was like a millennial mom. And she was saying how like, once you realize you're commenting your daughter's appearance too much. And then she's like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so pretty. And then she's like, and you're strong and your brain is big and you're courageous. And like, it's okay to comment on appearance of your children. Like, it's okay. And again, we're all learning. So like, just slowly trying to implement this of like placing emphasis on what the body can do instead of how it looks, right? These are just simple little things that can go a long way. So, okay. If you're like, wow, I needed this episode today. Everything resonated with me, or some of it really resonated with me. I really want to encourage you to get your benefits checked with our team. We have 10 dietitians that specialize in this type of counseling that are here to support you, that can role play through the next few weeks of the holiday, new year, new you bullshit. And you can go worst case scenario. What is the worst thing that could happen at a social event? Let's talk about it. Let's role play it. Let's come up with a game plan. And help you really stay on track with your recovery and where you're at with your relationship with food. And so I invite you to look at that. We are here for you. I am so grateful that you were here this week, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.